Well, we stand in great need of the Lord's blessing this morning. Appreciate His faithfulness to us. I feel like the Lord gave me this message when I was out in, actually before I went to Fresno, but I feel like He's inspired me to give it here as well. Some of these thoughts we've heard some years back, but I want to think about some things that I believe this morning could be life-changing for us if we could get a hold of this. I believe this is one of the things that the Lord longs for in our lives. There's many things the Lord longs to bless us with, but I believe this is something that will really could really change our life if we allow the Lord to make it work in us. In Hosea 11 and 4, it says here, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them. That's all I want there of that verse. I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. You know, the Lord saw our needs, and He saw the children of Israel's needs. The first verse says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. You know, the Lord had set His love on them. The Lord sets His love on us, I believe, on every one of us. And He wants to draw us. And He says, He drew them with cords of a man and with bands of love. And I want to look at the definition of this word cords and the definition of bands. You know, I realize that the Lord is not focusing on the cord and the band as far as how it's made. But I want us to just think a little bit about it this morning, because there's quite a few other scriptures that do illustrate that, and we want to read some of those. But the word cords and strongs, Hebrew says a rope as twisted. And I'm just reading some of it here. Figuratively, a company as if tied together, rope, tackling. The word bands, it means something entwined, that is string. Wreath or foliage, band, cord, rope, thick bough or branch, wreathen, chain. You know, mostly it's talking about there as this word bands and cords as something that is twisted together and intertwined. You've seen a wreath on a front door, how that it is twisted together and it's woven together all around it. And I watched somebody one time make string or whatever they were making, rope, whatever. But they were in the beginning stages of it, and they had this little spinning wheel. And I don't think I'd ever seen it before. And they were pulling off pieces of cotton and kind of stretching them and hooking them together. And this spinning wheel was spinning it, and it was spinning it tightly. And I just want to show you a little crude illustration here, but this cotton ball, you can just separate it in so many, you can just pull it all apart. It's very, very easy to do that. But you know what I found was that if you twist this thing together and you begin to twist this cotton ball, a little strand of it, and you begin to stretch it a little bit, it begins to get to where, believe it or not, I'm pulling with very hard, and you can't pull that cotton ball apart because of the way that it is twisted and the way that it is put together. That's the way many times they make thread and things like that. I've watched that since then. And little pieces that you would hardly believe, little strands, That long piece of whatever it is really a lot of little pieces is what it is. But it's tightly twisted together. And this morning, I just want us to think a little bit about this thought of this. He said, I've drawn you with cords of a man, tightly twisted together, little pieces of cotton or wool or whatever it is, with bands of love. And so this morning, I just want to challenge us, and I believe the Lord would like for us to get a hold of a little something, that the Lord has something more in mind than our little piece of cotton this morning. We are a little piece, and we're not very big. There's none of us here that's very big. But I will tell you, when it is put into line with other things, when those little pieces are put together and those strands are woven together, it can make a string, and they begin to weave that together, and it can become a rope. And we see that many times those things, as they're woven together, it gets stronger and stronger. And the more weaving there is, the more strength there is, until you can make a rope that'll lift a car very easily. You can make ropes that would probably, if you kept weaving it, probably lift a ship or something. I don't know. But you could do that. But it's in that weaving together. It's in that each one of the pieces allowing themselves to be intertwined and interwoven. Brother Billy and Sister Julie just had their wedding not long ago, and did they not have a threefold cord there? They had a cord representing Billy's family and Billy, and a cord representing Julie, and another cord representing the Lord. And doesn't the scripture say that a threefold cord is not easily broken? You know, when we weave our lives together and weave our lives together with the Lord, there becomes a strength that is not only a strength for other people. Many times I think we think, well, I can't do that for them. You know what it's for? It's for us too. The Lord wants us to be woven into His fabric, and then He can make so many things out of that. He can do so many things with it. You know, I've noticed different fabrics. You know, they can make fabric to where it can hold an enormous amount of weight. It's amazing what they can weave together. People jump out of buildings, a burning building, way up many stories high, and if they can jump onto this tarpaulin, whatever it is, probably something woven together, I would assume. And you see how that those things bear weight. They're able to bear weight. The Lord's able to weave us together like that too. I think about I used to like those lawn chairs. They're not just sold everywhere anymore. I'd like to find another one of a certain kind, but they had about 2 or 3 inch strands, and they would weave them together, and then you could sit in that seat. And while one strand might not be all that strong, you weave all those together, there begins to be a pull, and that way one person isn't bearing all the weight. The Lord, I really believe, and we want to read a number of scriptures this morning that I believe brings this out, that God wants to weave us together. He wants our heart to be woven together. He doesn't want independent people in the way that we're independent and alone. The Lord wants His body to be one. He likens it to a body. And we'll read some scriptures about that. A body all works together. It's so interdependent. It's a blessing to every part of the body. I might feel like maybe my toe's kind of small, but I will tell you what, I need that toe. And I need the parts of my body. You know, this morning, the Lord wants our lives to be blessed. And we want to start over in Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, and the 9th verse. It takes a lot of spinning, and it takes a lot of work to make a fabric. It takes a lot of allowing for all of that to happen. But in you and I especially, we all have wills, don't we? We are all different. But if we can see the vision of the big picture that God wants to do, I believe then we can purposely not only allow God's work, but purposely put ourselves in those places where the Lord begins to make us a part of something that begins to be very strong. And the enemy is going to attack. We hear that all the time, don't we? Well, the devil's been on me. Well, I want to tell you something. The Lord really wants us to feel the strength. He wants us to be part of something so that when the devil jumps on us, he's jumping on everybody. There's something about it that we all begin to bear the weight. Now, Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 says, two are better than one. That's what the scripture says. It says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, this morning there is a wealth of information in those four scriptures right there. The Lord wants us to realize that there is great value, not a little value, there is great value in our cords being tied together and in our lives being intertwined. I know that that it begins to, it takes something from us. It takes a stretching for us to be able, because see, when you start, it's just a little puff, it's a ball there. And you have to kind of stretch it out, and it has to be fitted together. And the Lord has to be able to weave us together and work with us in this way. And we have to give and take in order for that to happen. But, you know, I believe the Lord wants to do that for us this morning. In a fabric, I just wrote this, every piece pulls against the pressure one piece is experiencing. You know that is true. Every piece is feeling the pull that one person, one piece of a fabric is experiencing. And I believe the Lord wants it to be so with us. We need the strengths each other has to offer. You know, I was thinking about how that God wants to weave us into His body, and He wants to give us a place that is effectual together so that we as a body begin to bear weight. He can put weight on us. He can put responsibilities on us. He can begin to allow things to come our way, and somebody's not going to snap. It's all pulling together. But you know, it begins right here. It begins in our heart, doesn't it? It begins where the Lord has to work on you and me, because we don't always flow together. It's something that we have to purposely allow and purposely put ourselves in a place that the Lord can do this. The Lord begins to train us for this thing in our home, doesn't He? He begins to train us in our closest relationships. And we're thinking, why do I have to put up with somebody that's different than me? You know what the Lord's doing? He's just doing what He wants to do with us. He wants us to learn how to work together, how to love one another, how to give and take, how to give up our preference sometimes. I know that we don't give up doctrinal issues that, you know, and things like that. But folks, there's lots of times that there's a giving and a taking that we have to do. And the Lord wants us to learn to do that. And it begins at home. We can never, I'm convinced, it'll never work in this kind of setting unless we at home can win our battles there. Because that's who we are. We aren't going to weave with others when it gets very close and very tight. It's not going to weave. It's not going to weave well. We have to allow the Lord to begin to work on us and humble us. Allow His Word to work in our life. And allow the Lord to stretch us. Maybe we don't like to be stretched. I don't like to be stretched either. But I found out that there's great value in that stretching. The Lord has to pull us sometimes and work with us. And we like it just like it is, just like it has been. We don't want to be twisted in with others sometimes. We like it our way. We like to, our thoughts. But you know, the Lord, and we want to read some scriptures about how all that works, because He addresses that. those kind of issues in a number of places in His Word. But you know, I think about the first things that has to happen is we have to be in a place where the Lord can weave us together. You know, in Hebrews 10 and 25, I know this is a simple scripture, but it's something that we need to take to our hearts and lives and imbibe this in who we are and decide this is the word of the Lord. I will live this way. You know, the Lord isn't able to weave us together when we're not here. And so I'm not getting after anybody. I'm just challenging us this morning that we purposely let the Lord work His work in our life, and it becomes something very effectual, very effective. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I notice that it's the simplest, easiest thing that if we get a little offense or something, we just stay at home, right? I mean, it can happen that way. I'll say it that way. And it happens. Or if we just get a little too busy and let the cares of this life take over, we just don't show up, right? You know, the Lord wants to weave us together. We need one another's prayers. We need to hear your prayers during service sometimes and one another's prayers. We need the Lord to work through each one. He says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Do you know this is part of weaving together? Now Peter, when he went to, the Lord began to wash his feet, and he was going to wash Peter's feet, and he was like, uh-uh, you're not washing my feet. The God of heaven, he knew he was the Christ. He knew who this was. You're not going to wash my feet. But the Lord had something to say to Peter. If I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part in this thing. Because not only do you wash my feet, but I wash your feet. You know, the Lord wants us to open up ourselves and our lives and be willing to give and take like that. Be willing to be ministered to. Is that hard? For some of us, that's really hard, isn't it? Because we like to minister. We like to help people, don't we? We like to be the one in, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm all right. You know what? We need prayer too. Folks, we have weaknesses. In fact, we're nothing but a little puff of cotton on our own. We don't have much strength. We need to be interwoven. We need other people's prayers. We need them to know we need their prayers. I feel a great need of your prayers. I feel it this morning. I need your prayers. I need you all. And I hope that you need me too. You know, this morning, let's allow God to interweave us in what He's doing with one another and allow Him to begin to work. It says exhorting one another. You know how many times through the years that I've come to prayer service and just been like, I mean, sometimes the devil has just said, be nice to stay home tonight. I just don't feel like going. I don't feel like I have anything to give. And you know how many times I've come and your testimonies and your exhortations has just changed that picture completely? You know why? Because we're bearing weight together now, and it's not just my feelings. Do you know that our feelings interweave in this too? All of those things, God wants to uphold us. He wants to strengthen us. He doesn't want it to just be our feelings. And so if we're not careful, when our feelings are down, we just stay alone. That's the worst thing and the last thing the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to realize there is a great help from one another, and we need each other. And it says here something that we need to get a hold of. So much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more. Don't stop when it gets tough. Don't let it slow you down. Don't let it make you, well, things are getting tough. I'm not very inspired to be there. Folks, we need to be there for each other. We need to be praying for one another. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Galatians 6 and 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, you know, what's it mean to bear each other's burdens? Bear one another's burdens. It means to help one another when we need help. Maybe when we're down, we need one another. We need to know, I'm praying for you. I'm bound with you in this thing. You know, maybe somebody is feeling alone. Might be time to go over and help them with something that they have need. Might be time to visit them. Well, it's icy. They're not feeling very, I don't feel it coming back this way very much. You know, the Lord wants us sometimes to go beyond and go ahead and let ourselves weave together. We need one another. We need the strength. Bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The scripture before it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, that's part of the weaving. It's part of the bearing one another's burdens. Maybe sometimes somebody does get overtaken in a fault. Is that the time to push them out? Is that the time for them to feel the ice? Or is that the time for them to feel our longing and desire? We want there to be a real restoration here. We want the Lord to pick you back up, brother. Show them affection, intention, and those. Show them the things that they need. You know, I want to think about Ephesians 2 and 19. In the Old Testament, when you read about the building of the temple, you see where they called for and needed people of every kind of work. They needed those that could work with stone. They needed those that could work with wood. They needed people that knew how to work with gold and silver. They needed ivory workers. They needed those that could sew. They needed curtains made and things made of different colors. That took people that maybe didn't know how to sew so well, but they knew how to do that. You know, there was many things, and then they all had to eat. You know, that sounds pretty small. Hey, that's a big deal, isn't it? We need that, don't we? But you know what? Take out one of those, and the temple could have never been finished. Take out any of them. Take out the ones that gave of their finances to help the temple be made. See, it is a weaving together of everyone. And what you read, if you read back there, you see where God gifted those people. He gifted them. Even in the Old Testament, He did. He gave them the spirit of wisdom and things to do that work. And you know, today, the Lord wants to work with us in that way, and He wants to give gifts unto men. He wants to gift those in every area. Can He gift somebody making in keeping up the chapel? Can He gift somebody in doing the work that needs to be done? I've seen Him do it. I believe we have it right here. Can He gift somebody in cooking? I believe He does that, doesn't He? He has a way of taking that and gifting that. And we talked about that last week some. But this morning, I just want to encourage us that God has a big picture in mind. And we center our picture down to us many times. And all we see is my battles. And this is the picture that we see. And I'm trying to go to heaven. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, God has a lot bigger picture in mind than just me or you. He has a lot bigger picture than that. And so He has a temple that's being developed too. You know, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't the Bible say that? But then God has another greater thing in mind than that. And we realize that's the greatest thing that could be. I know that. But He has a work that He wants to do. And we read in Ephesians 2, starting at 19, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. We're not talking about strangers and foreigners. But He said, fellow citizens with the saints. We're talking about people that are saved, people that are living for the Lord, living in the light of His truth. And He says, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. People whose lives are built upon the foundation of the Word of God. And now He says He's got something here He's wanting to do. He's got a big picture in mind. And He's wanting us to all be a part of it. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. All of this building, all of us together, it grows into another temple, isn't it? It grows into a work of God. It grows into little groups of people. We call them congregations. You know, the Lord is wanting to work in that way. I believe He's wanting to work with us nationally. And the Lord wants to work, and we have to purposely allow ourselves to be fitly, what's this say, fitly framed together. Be put into the mix. Be spun together and allow the Lord. Lord, where is my place in this? I give myself to You. Would You put me not where I'm asking to be put, but just give me a place. Just weave me in. Spin me into Your fabric, into Your cloth. Somewhere put me in there. And so, you know, Matthew frames, we all know that. But you know, I used to frame houses. And you begin to build, and you build by the plan, you build walls. And you know, if you do that, and everything's level and square, and you put it like it's supposed to be, do you know that you can cut those rafters and those hips and all of those things, and they will just fit right together. And when you get done, you will have something that is beautiful. You'll have a work that is the work of a craftsman. You know, the Lord is that craftsman today, and He is wanting you and I to be His workmanship. He has in mind some things that He wants to do. I'm convinced the God that made this universe isn't contented for me or you to just get saved and that be the end of it. I believe He built this universe. Doesn't He have some things in mind? Doesn't He have some things in mind for our home? Doesn't He have some things in mind for our congregation? Doesn't He have some things in mind for our people as a whole? I believe for all the people of God, the Lord wants to weave and bind us together and cause us to begin to be His building and to begin to be His work in the earth. He has a lot of things He wants to do. He has people down there in jail that He needs to save. And He has people other places across the seas that He wants to save. And He has folks right here that needs to be taught Sunday school. And He wants to gift people for that. He has a work, He has an operation that He needs and wants to happen in a wonderful way. And He's asking for you and me to allow ourselves to be fitly framed. And Lord, where do You want me? I don't know exactly. I don't know all the places You want. I want You to be able to cut me to the length You want. I want You to be able to just put me in there under the roof. I know nobody will see me. But Lord, give me a place. Give me a place in Your body. Because I believe it works. Now here the Lord likens it to a temple. He says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, the Lord is wanting to dwell among us, isn't He? He wants it to start in our home. He wants us to learn to be woven together in our home. He wants our hearts to be knitted together. He wants us to learn how to be humble enough for our hearts to be knitted together. And if it doesn't happen there, it won't happen on a larger scale. Not like the Lord wants it to. And so I want to challenge us this morning to humble ourselves. It is only our stiffness that won't let the Lord pull and put us where He wants to be. The Lord wants us to be able to be stretched, to be put into that place, to be twisted together. He wants that. It is only our lack of humility that doesn't allow it. Maybe we have our own turf, our own territory. This is mine. You know, mine isn't very big. It only takes up here about a foot by foot, basically. That's not very big. That's just all the turf. You know, the Lord wants to do some things this morning. And I just want to encourage us. I believe that this could be and would be one of the greatest blessings we could have if we could all learn, every one of us, Lord, help me to learn how to give to your Spirit, to give and take to others in such a way that you can make me much stronger, because I'm not alone now. It's pulling in every direction. I'm allowing myself to be part of the fabric. And that's a wonderful thing, folks, this morning. Just want to challenge us that the Lord give that to us. In 1 Corinthians 12, look at this. And 4, the Lord tells a little about what this structure that he's building is like. Now he likens it not to a temple or a structure, but to the body. Here's another illustration in a different way, so that we can pick up, Lord, what is it that you're trying to do? What is it that you're trying to make? Starting at verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. You mean there's differences? I'm not talking about doctrinal issues that take people away from the Lord. But you know, there's different ways of doing things. There's people that are very different than we are. And sometimes that's a little uncomfortable. It is. For me, it has been. Because, you know, some of us like it the same way all the time. We know how we like it. And you know, somebody else, they just like it different every time. If you've eaten there last time, then we got to surely find a new place. You know, well, why find a new place when you like the old place? It's just differences in people. And the Lord tells us there are differences of administrations, differences of ways of doing things. And so he says here, but the same Spirit. We're not talking about different spirits, different unholy spirits and Holy Spirit. We're talking about Holy Spirits working together, but different personalities, different ways of doing things, different ideas sometimes. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It is something that the Lord binds together, and then that way it profits everybody. And he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now I want to ask you something. Why does it say to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, and to another it says faith? Now, we all have a certain amount of faith, don't we, and a certain amount of wisdom. But God fitly frames his building together. I don't believe he wanted one stick to be the whole building. He wants us to all be a part. You know, sometimes I have seen people that have great faith, but they did not have great wisdom. I've seen that. You know, if we will not allow ourselves to be bound together because we say, well, they don't have enough wisdom. Well, you know what the Lord really wants? He wants us to depend on each other. He wants that wisdom that someone has to help out those that doesn't. And he wants us to be humble enough to take it from one another, to be woven together. That one that has faith, I will tell you, there's people I call when I get sick, especially. I call on all the saints. But I know some folks that have faith. They just do. And maybe they don't have as much wisdom. But you know what? We need to be careful that we don't frustrate the grace of God and the work that He does because of one another's human natural propensities. The Lord wants to allow us, He wants to make us to be able to flow together and recognize they got more faith in. They have a gift of healing. You ever known someone that had a gift of healing? I believe I have. I don't feel like I have the gift of healing. But you know what? The Lord gifts each one of us, and He fitly puts this into the body. And we depend on one another, don't we? Now, can we pray for healing? Yes, we can pray for healing. I believe God will hear our cries and our prayers. But He specially gifts some people. He specially has that hip rafter out there. He specially has that end rafter. And He specially has all those, and He's got them just like He wants them this morning. And we can ask the Lord to use our life in a greater way. And I believe He'll do that. But you know, to another, we read these things and we think, well, I don't have anything to boast of. Well, we don't. But I will tell you what, somebody else might have a gift of writing cards and encouraging people. You know how valuable that is? Someone else might be taking care of a parent. Do you know that is the work of God? Lord, make me good in the place that You make me. Help me to be the best caretaker. Help me to understand how to do it. You know, because that's where God has me right now, maybe. Or you. That's where we are. And so, Lord, help us to have understanding and know how to fit into Your plan. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. You know, I've found some real spiritual people that were not gifted in discerning spirits. And that used to really trouble me. Why, if they're spiritual, do they not always discern? Seems like, well, you know what? We have to lean on each other, don't we? I believe the gifts work together. And the Lord doesn't want one person poking out, and here's the person, here's the one. Here's the one we look to. They've got everything. Folks, we're interwoven. And you and me, in our small little part, need to be there so the fabric can be strong, so you can be strong, so you can lend your strength to others. We may feel like we don't have any strength to lend, but I want to tell you, maybe we don't. Just put it together and see what happens. Let the Lord blend us together. Let the Lord tightly twist our life together. And let Him blend us into His work. I believe He has a big picture. And I believe He has some things in mind. Remember, this is God we're dealing with. He's the one that designed those galaxies out there. The body. He's the one that designed all of these things. He's got some designs in mind for you and me too. And they're not small. He has a work that He would like to have done. Folks, let's get in and give ourselves totally to Him, totally to the will of God, and let Him work with us and see what His design is. It might be a lot greater than we think. There might can be more souls saved than we ever thought. There's people, I'm sure, that are down there in certain places. There's children. Lord, how do we help these people? Let's bind ourselves to the Lord and to one another and see what He does. Verse 11 says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. For as the body is one, now listen to this picture now that He's giving us, a different picture. As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You know, I encourage those out there, folks, come back our way and let's bind ourselves together. You know what? The devil's been picking too much on people. It's time for us all bind ourselves together a little better. Let the Lord do it. It takes a little giving and taking. We have to put aside a few of our little beefs maybe about someone else. Well, I don't like the way. Well, are they saved? Let's bind together and let's see if maybe we can help them with that. Let's see if maybe we can encourage them in the Lord. Maybe they'll get deeper in the Lord and they'll give that way up about themselves. Lord, help us today. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, this is what the Lord's telling us here. If the foot says, I'm not of the body, is it not of the body? He's talking about independence here. If the foot says, I'm not of the body, I'm all alone, I'm the foot. You know, it doesn't work that way, does it? It just doesn't work that way. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the eye. The eye sees everything. You know, we are looking around, we are continually, everything we're taking in is because we're seeing it. Many things anyway that we're taking in is because we are seeing it. The foot isn't seen. And the hand does so much work. And if it was to say, I'm not the hand, so I'm not worth anything, I'm not of the body. You know, that's what the apostle is telling us here. Let's don't allow that in our life. And if the ear shall say, okay, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? You know, there's such a thing as a backbone in our body, isn't there? You know, I've never seen mine. Thank goodness. It's never been exposed. But it's there, and I'm glad, and I know it's there. And it works pretty good. It holds me upright. I can walk because of it. But I've never seen it. You know what, folks? We're not all on display all the time. But the Lord has a little place for us in the body where He wants us to be a part of the body and allow ourselves and cause ourselves to be a part of the body. Present ourselves to be part of the body. Make sure it happens. I am challenged in our congregations to visit one another, to bind strings around one another's heart, to cause ourselves to be stronger, to cause ourselves to be knit together and to be able to bear the weight of the work of the Lord together. Because see, when we're alone, we're so weak. I don't want us to forget this cotton ball. It's so, you can just pull it apart. But just a little twist of a little of it, and it becomes quite strong. And the Lord wants to twist our hearts, our lives together. Let's go to one another's meetings. Let's be there for each other. Let's bear one another's loads when they have a load. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I know our time's getting away. I'm going to try not to be too lengthy here. But I just feel like, saints, folks, if God could help us to really get a hold of this and begin to work on ourselves, to allow God to do this, I believe, I know what it does in a home. I've seen many homes where there wasn't that binding together. Let's start it in our home. Lord, You want us to have it. The blessings are enormous. They're enormous. I'll say that. I'll stand by that. The blessings are enormous of binding your hearts together and loving one another. Let's start right where we are and begin to see a bigger picture. Lord, I want to be one that You can work through. Help me to humble myself. Help me to know how to be put fitly framed into your work. In Ephesians 4 and 32, it says, maybe we'll start up a little bit, I guess. I had 32 written, but it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be a kind one to another. Is there ever a place we should not be kind? Ever? I don't think so. I don't think the Lord ever has a place. In the Old Testament, there was times that they killed their enemies, but the Lord said He had a new commandment, didn't He? That you love one another. The Lord has something for us that is so far above those things. It's so far above the petty strife that can be between one another. And so He said something profound. Be ye kind one to another. Isn't that profound? It's easy to say, but it's not always easy to do. But it's part of the work of God. And if we're going to be in the work of the Lord, we're going to have to allow God to humble us and put these graces within our heart. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Is it possible? Is it true that saints would have to forgive each other for anything? How we don't try to offend. How can it be? It's going to happen, folks. I'm not even going to try to explain it. I think we all know it. It's going to happen. We're going to be offensive to one another sometimes. Don't even know it many times. Frustrated because, well, why are they offended? I don't even understand where the offense came from. We just offend one another. But folks, if we become independent because of our offenses, if we become alone, our strength is very small. You see this? It pulls apart. Our strength is small. Don't allow ourselves to become hurt, to hold a grievance against the ministry, to hold a grievance against my brother and sister. We all take the loss when we do that. Let's cross those lines. Let's decide, I want to bind myself. Are they saved? Well, yeah, they're saved, but you don't know. Folks, let's let the Lord work. Bind ourselves together. Let's try to see God do what He wants to do here. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I don't know if you recognize what that just said. But God for Christ's sake forgave me when I didn't deserve one thing. That's the way the Lord wants us to forgive one another. He doesn't want us to hold one another, intentional or not. The Lord wants us to be people that forgive. When you forgive from the heart, do you know that you can love? But you can't love until you truly, truly forgive the offenses of another. It is God that gives us that kind of grace. And so we humble ourselves. And so we cry out, Lord, I want to be able to truly forgive. And you say, well, I have forgiven. I just don't want to be around them. I don't want to see them. No, you haven't forgiven then. Because when we truly forgive, then we can obey the Lord's commands and love. And that's the Bible standard. It's the thing that gives joy. It's the thing that opens up the windows of heaven to you and me. Lord, would you talk to our hearts today? Would you help us to truly walk in that way and be kind and tender-hearted? And I'm not saying we're not, folks. I'm just preaching the Word. I'm preaching what God gave me. Colossians 3 and 13 reaffirms this very thing. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Yes, we have to do that. You have to do it with your spouse, don't you? Yes, we do. Or we couldn't keep on loving. We have to do that with one another. And sometimes we never do understand. Why don't they just do? Well, we just don't understand. It just doesn't happen like we think it should all the time. But you know what? We can love one another. We can bear with one another. We can love one another. I'm not talking about people that are going out and living shoddy lives. I'm not talking about that. But folks, when we are living for the Lord, can't our hearts be bound together? Can't we allow God to work this work within us? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, oh, here it is again. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now it says it a little different there. But Christ forgave us when we didn't have anything to stand on. And He forgave us. And He wants us to do that for one another. A scripture says, and I know that, I believe there's a principle in it that we can pull out. About one chasing a thousand and two chasing 10,000. I want us to remember something. The Lord wants, He wants to, I believe, bind us together in that way until one can chase a thousand and we can see the enemy rebuked in many places this morning. I thought about how high the stakes are. And how high the call is. You know, I think about our children and how we are fighting for the children of our congregation all the time. The children of our families. We live in a wicked world. We don't want the spirits to get on them, do we? Folks, the stakes are high. If we want them to believe, then just as the scripture says, the world will believe as we love one another. When they see the grace of God working in our life in a rich way, it is very convincing. Because you fight battles and the Lord fights with you. It's a threefold cord. But when we fight on our own, we lose. We're not very strong. Lord, help us this morning. I think I'll quit there and maybe finish this later. But I want to challenge every one of us this morning. We are fighting for the work of the Lord. We are fighting against all satanic opposition until it's coming from the highest places in our land. Things that are satanic against the very workings, the very words of the Lord. The things that He made plain to us. The things that were very important to Him. And we are seeing them struck down, if you want to call it that. Put away from the teachings of our land and our people. Folks, we're in a fight. We're in a battle for our nation. We're in a battle for our own souls. And I believe these things are extremely important. It is a sleepy time. It is a time when all around us, people are going to sleep to the point they don't even believe in God or they're agnostic. How can you be agnostic about a God that has done what God has done? But that is the world we are living in. And if you and I get lazy, we're liable to get to be the same way, believe it or not. But I don't believe the Lord wants us to bow to that. I believe the Lord wants a people right here, right now, that is fervent and hot spiritually and willing to put their lives on the line. I don't think we have to say, well, we're losing the war. Folks, God has never lost a war. He's never lost anything. It's people that give it up. They give up what God has. Lord, help us this morning. The Lord has work. He's got this great picture that He sees. Just like He saw the earth, He saw all those things, and He said, let there be light. And there was the sun. Isn't that amazing? The Lord made things, and He did that by His work. And this morning, He wants to work in our lives too. I don't know what He wants to do. I would love to see it all happen. If everyone that named the name of Christ allowed God to really work this way in their life, and to humble our hearts before Him, you pray for us too.